having that confidence is going to build the trust, and it's going to build that longevity in your relationship with your clients. So it's going to give you an edge to compete. Welcome to this week's episode of Beauty Babble. Today, we're sharing tips on how to boost your confidence when you're interacting with your clients. Hi, Suzanne. How are you doing today?
I'm doing much better than the last time we talked. Thanks for asking. You sound really good too.
Yeah, my voice is coming back, not fully 100%, but we're getting there.
I know. I know. You'd think we gave it to each other, but we're pretty much on here on camera with each
Yeah, well, I know I got it from my kids. So today we're talking about kind of going off of an article that you had read about growing confidence through conversation is the title of the article. And we thought we'd just kind of dive into it because we've both, I don't know about you, but I've experienced it on my end when I first started. And then I've also engaged with a lot of estheticians that have felt this way as well, where you're unsure of yourself a little bit. Why don't you kick us
Absolutely.
off? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's something if you're not feeling that way, then I think you're missing some things because there's so much information that you're learning and keeping up with. And you know, if you think going to school was tough, right? All that information they hit you with, well, in the industry to try to keep up with, unless you're, you know, maybe you're doing quite well in your treatment room and you're in your own little bubble and that's okay, but I think a lot of people are struggling to build that clientele and to keep them coming back. And because there's so many more, like we're so saturated in this industry with lash techs on their own and facial technicians and waxing and then all of it. And, you know, more and more like solo entrepreneurs, I guess you could say. And anyways, and just from conversations I've had with people in the industry, and, you know, they're always, I mean, it's good that they're comfortable to share that they're not. Sometimes they're just not confident. They don't know how to come across confident. And it's not, I don't want to say it's not hard because many are just doing it already and they don't even realize they're doing it in their treatment room. And that's that conversation you're having, right? From the start to the very first time you meet that client and the next time they're in for their appointment. And you've heard me talk about the consultation, right? You should always be doing some form of a consultation when that person comes in your room. Not as fully, thoroughly as you need to that first time, but I think it just helps you keep that niche of your professionalism with your client. And like I said, I think I've said this already, you know, our trend of our industry has gone so digital and technical that we have lost our touch, the physical touch and our verbal touch, that communication. If you think back to school, what were two types of communication? It's verbal and nonverbal. And with the digital world that we're in, it helps and it's a great tool to have, but we can't forget that it can't replace the human side of it, I think, is
Yeah, for
what I'm
sure.
saying, right?
And I think with the consultations, like when you have a repeat client, you can kind of weave in your questions in a conversational manner where you're touching on all the things that you need to double check on without it seeming so clinical in how you're asking, right? So
Right.
I think everybody can develop their own style of how they do that, but have three or four questions that you're always asking at the beginning, for your repeat clients that are updating their intake form, just making sure you still have all the information up to date.
Yeah, it's not just the intake form. I guess it's like that's general. Like, do you break out? Do you, when's the last time you waxed? When's like those are just everybody's questions almost, right? But now use it as a guide to see what else you can get. I'm sure there's people out there, and this probably happened to you too, Doreen, because it happened to me many times where we went through the consultation form. I did my part of asking the questions. And then partway through the treatment, whatever it was, waxing, a body treatment, I don't know, you name it, facials. And then it comes out what they did. And you're like, I just went through the form with you and you didn't mention that. Right. And I think that's something that's why it's important to be asking questions a little more and be prepared that during the treatment, they might divulge something else. I had a client one time say, I don't use anything. Oh, okay, no problem. I'm not judging. I just made sure she understands. I said, so I find it interesting you use nothing, but you want to come for a facial. Okay. And it wasn't gift cards. So I was like, something's going on. So I just sat back. And again, that comes with experience that you realize that does not add up. Typically, a gift card, sure, it's a treat. They're going in for a facial. But when someone out of the blue books in for an actual treatment, that means they looked at your menu, they did the effort to book.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, talking with the client, said, okay, said, no problem. Then I said, I am going to tell you, it's your first time. So I do like to give just a little bit of information of the steps that I'm going to be doing. I'll make sure that it's still relaxing for you and calming and blah, 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 and I'll hit whatever goals you have. And apparently, there's no goals either. Just make me 20 years younger. It was so vague. And I went, okay, this person's had a bad experience.
Ah, okay.
I think it probably was constant selling, like, that whole thing, or upselling the treatment or whatever. So I just pulled back and said, she's here for a facial. I'll do that. Long story short, as we got through, it came up. She says, yeah, I used hyaluronic acid last night. I said, oh, good for you. I love hyaluronic. I didn't say, well, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Yeah. You lied.
Yeah. You lied, girl. So I just said, oh, that's great. This, how did you hear? But I'm curious, mm-hmm. Well, I did a walk and then so it was something, I don't know, that she went into some retail place and they sold it to her basically, or she did her own reading and then went in to find it. But and I said, oh, that's good. That's great. So it wasn't until the very end of the treatment where I said to her, so with your skin, because again, I also did my part and said, from what I can see in working on your skin, how often are you using your hyaluronic acid? Because she was dehydrated. Do you drink water? She goes, I try to drink water. I said, well, I'm going to just help you how to benefit the product that you purchased. So I told her how it's three times, 3,000 times in its weight and holding water. So if it has no water to hold on to, it's not going to do its job. So you're kind of wasting the product. So you need to drink more water. Pat your skin, keep it wet after. Like, not just, oh, I didn't know that. So through conversation and asking questions, and then I flipped the coin to be, I do know things. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't condemn her for lying. and that's the whole point of this. I think when I look back and all the years I've done it, and to this day still, it's like, just sit back and don't go, my God, she's lying. It's mm-hmm. like, but ask why. And I think that's a big one, is if you have more of a reaction in your head of, oh, I wonder why she thinks that, or he thinks that. I wonder why they use that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why they don't come regularly. I wonder why, you know what I'm saying? Like
curiosity.
Yeah. You got to keep asking yourself. And before you know it, I mean, luckily it wasn't anything crazy that she was using, and it was just a facial treatment. So I wasn't using mm-hmm. chemicals or, and it was just hyaluronic acid, right? But yeah, it was interesting. And then she talked about vitamin C. Now that I remember, I was like, girl, I thought you used nothing.
Yeah. So, I think that kind of just makes it, I know we've said this a lot, but it's like you, as the professional doing the treatment, sharing your knowledge and giving, like you did, you gave some tips, you shared knowledge, that helps build trust with your client. And when they trust you, you're going to feel more confident in the knowledge that you have. So really, it kind of comes back to like that building your confidence, right?
It builds. So what does that do? And I mean, I know we don't like to use the word sales, but that's what you're in, people. It's the service industry, and the service that you provide is a sale. It's a service and you're purchasing. So when someone purchased something, that is a sale. It doesn't matter if it's your cheese at the market or the, whatever it may be, it's not a necessity of life, right? This is a service industry. So how can you build the confidence, which brings the confidence in you and your client,
mm-hmm.
or potential client, right?
Yeah.
And then she had questions at the end, which is really, really kind of cool, right? But we don't have to dive too much into that.
So and I think that, like, what that does, like, she came in hesitant, right?
Closed off. The door.
like nobody, in my opinion, this is my opinion, you're not spending money on a facial if you don't care about your skin, or there's no actual motive that you have. because there's something that you're seeking. And so you can come and spend however much your facial is, and you do that client a disservice if you're not teaching them how to prolong the effects or reach their goals. Because sadly, you're not going to reach your goal with one facial. We all know that, unfortunately. So you have to continue. Like, if you have a goal, that's why I think, again, we talk about like the consultation, but it's really to get information so you can better serve your client.
Yeah, exactly. So conversation is huge, right? And the other thing too, is it helps you figure out. So I start to figure this out, right? Like, using this as an example. So in my head, this isn't just a la 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 facial. Like, it's a service, and I want to give this client, like, I'm going to wow her. She's going to be blown away, and she'll think about her next facial and she'll think of me. That sounds arrogant, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I want her to be confident in asking questions. And, you know, I still do the same spiel, you know, because of cell renewal, this is why we recommend every 4 to 6 weeks for treatment, blah, 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 and how you support it at home. And, you know, I said all those things, and it sounds like you're on a great plan to start with. And if you need anything, I'm here. And I tried not to come across salesy, but more educational.
Yeah.
Education is sales.
I know. Yeah. Nobody wants to admit that, though. I think your example also touches on one of the other points in the article, which is about like dealing with different personalities or different approaches. Like, I think you could have taken it the wrong way. You know, when she came up, you could have gotten a little defensive and shut down.
And that's what happens. And people are like, okay, fine, be that way. And then,
yeah, here's your facial, and yeah, I'm not going to say anything. And that actually does both of you a disservice.
Right. And you're forgetting touch is huge. The energy that comes across, like, whether you believe it or not. Have you never had someone, you know, put their hand on your shoulder and like, oh, just, you don't know why you feel that way. You just do. But you have other people, you have no problem with them standing in your space. There's others, you just back up a bit, right? Don't question it. You just intuitively accept it or not, right? So I think that's, again, so technical, so digital, so, you know, out of touch, physically out of touch with people, that we forget that. But yeah, it's in dealing with different people. I'm going back a long time ago when I started to look at building my business and hiring different people. I actually took a course on it. I wanted to know how to deal with people, because I know there's different personalities, and I wanted to understand, not to become a reactive person. And it's in my personality too, a little bit. And I know that, but it did teach me about people. I just wanted to make sure that I don't put my back up against somebody. I don't come across the wrong way. And especially for staff, I really wanted to make sure that I was trying my best that I could. And yeah, you have good days and bad days, and you just got to own it and tell them, like, this is a bad day. This isn't the day for this for me. Kind of like I used to do with my kids.
Yeah.
But I think if you realize, there, a lot of times I used to say to staff, I'm like, oh my God, Jareen was in today. I don't know what was going on with her today. You know, because they're regulars, but something different. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what went on in Jareen's day.
Yeah.
If you're listening, it wasn't Jareen. I'm just using her as an example. But right. And I said, it's not about that person. So if you sit back and treat them consistently the same way, in that eyebrow shaping, in that lash tint, in that the lash session, the pedicure, facial, it doesn't matter what it is, they're going to love you for it. And just step back from it. Don't take it. And then make sure you get rid of that energy.
Yeah. I think part of it is like, you know, that saying, like, read the room, but you read your client. Like, and,
yes,
you know, sometimes they come in and they're got a slow pace. They want to chit chat. And other times they want in and they want to get the thing done and they want to get out. And I think that you have to be flexible and adaptable. Like, think like water. You just got to fit into the container, because being consistent with your service, yes, but you also have to kind of adjust your level of energy or chattiness, whatever it is, I think to the energy that your client is looking for. And you get that, what kind of understanding, you know.
And if you've ever had the client, I'm sure we've all had that client who is just in that argumental way. It's just not good. They're going to disagree with you on everything. And it's just life. And Life hand them a bad deck of cards that day or whatever, or the last few months, whatever it may be in their life. And I think we have to still remain professional, not allow them to beat up on you, like verbally, right? I get that. There's a limit, but you actually have more control over the energy in the room than you realize sometimes. And when you change it, I've done that. I've walked out of a room. I said, like, I'll be right back. Just give me a second. Okay. And I leave. It's like, oof, I got to cut this off. Like,
yeah,
it's different than an argumental person on a telephone. I was told, put them on hold. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. And one course I remember, I was like, really? Break that off. They're on a rampage. Cut it off. Put them on hold. I have to put you on hold for a second. Just give me a quick second. I'll be right back. I'm so sorry to put you on hold. Okay. So from what I'm understanding is you're upset because, so you've changed it. You flipped that coin out of their hand, right? And it's no different the treatment room the same way. You know, I had a client it was interesting. She never shared what she did in her profession exactly. I don't know what she did. I knew it was high level stress. So I said, okay, she doesn't want to talk about it. So I'm not going to ask her. She came in one time and she was just like, ooh, gosh, I'll never forget it. Her energy. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on today? Like she was just in a bad place. Dark, like you could just feel it, see it, everything. So I stayed quieter and I said, you know what? I know you really enjoyed that tea. I came to remember I had a new tea. And I said, did you want a cup of tea before we start? And she just looked at me. She goes, you know what? Actually, that'd be great. So let me go get you a tea. So I went and got her a tea, brought in the room. Now, granted, I had to still watch my time because I had clients coming. But I played with this, just gave her a moment. I said, here you go. You know what? While you sit and you get ready and change into your gown, take a few sips of tea and I'll be back. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Okay. And I left the room again. Mm. I had the music. So I flipped the coin. Was she 100% happy? No, she had a really bad day, a very, very bad day. And I found out after she was in a church for a crisis place and she'd been working with someone and unfortunately things went very bad, and so it hit her personally, right? But I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what, and I never asked. And it came out later because she told me, I think the next time she came in for brow wax, she goes, you know, I have to tell you something. And she goes, what? I said, I lost a client that day.
And I said, and I think if you had asked that day, it wouldn't have gone over well.
Like you said, read the room, understand if they want to talk, they're going to share.
Yeah,
right. And if and it's that first time client, I doubt that they would come.
No.
Right. But if it's your repeat client, like they want to be there, they still want to have their service done. They book the appointment and thank God she still came because it's prime time, man. I still want her to come. I'll just figure it out. Is it a lot on us? Yes. If you're a person that takes on other people's energies, you know, when you don't know why, you know, someone, I don't know, is in your room and they're in a bad mood, you come out, you're all, man, man. Well, that's what happens. We humanly can take on, and some people take on more or easier than other people. If you're that person, you need to find a way to step away from that and change your perspective, your energy, your head, you know, whatever it takes. And maybe that's something you need to do for self-care, right? It comes down to that self-care, but you know, you're listening to your client. I was listening. I could see the nonverbal communication was huge, right? So verbal and
I think that's the other one. Listening. Yeah. Body language, like all of it.
Listening, and body language. To me, yeah, for sure.
Like I have a bad memory. So I think things like the tea, or I used to make notes of that. Like yeah. This person is this, or they like, because I'm not going to remember all the little things unless they were really like there every week. I wouldn't remember. So that might be something that listeners can do, and that in having that, again, back to like that confidence, if you have that, you're not questioning yourself in like, what should I do in this situation? Go back and see your notes. Like, okay, I know this client likes tea. I'm going to offer her some. She seems a little off today, or something like that. Like always yeah. kind of have, give yourself the tools that you need. And we all operate on a different level. Like that might not work for some people.
Right.
But like for those who need it written down, having those little notes, or even like a cheat sheet in like, okay, reminding yourself, what do you do if you have a client that does this? and having like three things that you always go back and default on. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who likes to be like super prepared. So I always like have these scenarios. I'm like, hey, if I experience this, then I'm going to default to, whether it's you choose to, you know, give them extra time or do the tea interruption, whatever it is, like have a little strategy for yourself. And I think that like the listening part, there's a lot to like that active listening, you know, where you listen, you're like, oh, sometimes people just want to be heard and they're having a hard day and they want to come in and they just want to vent. It's basically like we're part-time therapists too, without giving it. Right. So sometimes like even, you know, read up on active listening or just all like, just like, oh, I hear you. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. So you're saying this or what, you know, like just saying it back to them in a way that they can see that you're listening.
Well, what do they say? You have two ears and one mouth. Use your ears. You got two.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's less talking, more listening. And I think that's huge because like I said, clients are going to have different issues in their concerns, in their life, in their workplace, at home, like as we do. It's no different, right? It's choosing to come in to work happy is a choice. I hate to say that, but I've said that so many times, like it's a choice you make. Try to do it, because whatever is going on in your world, you can't fix it while you're working. So you need to think about that first. And then how can you flip the switch for that client? And then it just, you know, and that's something I used to talk to staff. They'd be like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm picking on you. Doreen's late again. Well, why is Doreen late?
FYI to everyone.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, but you know, she's always late. So what's the big deal? Why is it a shock again? Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you're starting your energy off wrong though. I said, you change your energy.
Yeah.
She's going to read that you're pissed. That she's late again. So, you know, she comes in, she's sincerely apologetic. Does it drive us crazy? Yes, of course it does. But don't do it to yourself. You're just going to have to laugh, say, yep. You know, you can cut back on something. Don't tell her that. That's the other thing. It's like, well, I can't do your pedicure massage now. Oh, Jesus, you don't talk to your clients like that. And I know people do. Like it's, I said, just, I wouldn't do it that way. So you know what, we're going to get through it. I'm going to do what I can. And you just might have to make a few choices in today's services of what I can provide, but I'm going to do what I can. Let's just get in there.
Yeah.
Right. So it changes again. You're flipping that, you know, you're listening actively. You're seeing their body language. You know, the ones that come in that are, you know, standoffish and don't care, like they're late again, like, well, you should be doing my service regardless. Actually, I had that the other day. Someone told me, I'm not going to say where this is, but a different dynamic of an area, another town, another place, another province. They just call it like, we're in Edmonton, right? So they'll just say, oh, that's Edmonton time. That's how they're always late. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Really?
Yeah. I was like blown away. I had no idea. It's like, wow, how do you deal with it?
Crazy.
All of her clients every day.
I think in that you have to be like, if you know your client is like, I get the sometimes people are late, but if I know that somebody is always late, I would just plan for that.
Doreen, they're all the entire salon spot, they sit everywhere. And if you do anything with that, they'll just go to the next competitor. They don't care. I said, wow, that's amazing. I said, let me ponder that one for a little bit and we'll get back to talking.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's like, that's just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. How disrespectful, but I get it. I mean, it's a culture. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, the dentist, the oil change appointment, it is culturally there in everything. I said, no way. I just didn't know. I thought, wow.
I don't think so. But okay, I wanted to make a point about the, you know, coming to work happy or whatever. I think it's important. Like, I think we listen to our clients, but our clients are not there to listen to our problems. And I've had that where I was the client and I went to a massage place by my house one time and I never went back, because the entire time I was listening to, during a massage, to the massage therapist's difficult life. And I left leaving feeling bad for her and just like, it was just not a pleasant experience. And I get people have, we all go through hardships and you have bad days, but you can't take it out on your clients, yeah. basically.
You know, I had a client one time that she pretty much always had something wrong in her life, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, Suzanne, I want to know about you. Your life can't be that perfect. Share with me. I was like, in my head, I'm like, hell no. Yeah. That's not going to happen. But I said, well, no, it's everyone has something going on in their life. This isn't the place where I share it.
Yeah.
This isn't, I don't share. Yeah, but I want to feel better about myself. I'm not the only one. Listen, you're not the only one. I know that. But, and she kept trying to pry.
Really?
Well, you sound like you have, I known her for like 12 years. So I, long, long time, right? Many, many years before she did that. And she'll say, but you never complain about your husband. You never complain about your kids and your life and your business. And that, I said, because that's just not who I am. I don't do it in here. I'm here to give you a treatment. And yeah, but could we, you know, sit after the treatment and you tell me? I'm like, why do you want to know so much about my life? And why do you want more negativity in your life? Don't you have enough? Because I've known her for a very long time. Yeah. And she just, yeah, but you know, but you're not the only one. You're going to have to just trust me on this one. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
She goes, but you're always consistently happy. And that's why I say, I make a choice when I come in here. and I've always kind of done that in my world for my sanity. This was about me though. I made that choice. It wasn't to come off of something like life is perfect or anything. It was just for me to get through my day, I need a positive world. And my household knows that. If it's a negative world, I'm like, oh, take that somewhere else. I don't want to hear that. Like venting's one thing and you can share your day and I get all that. But when it becomes a rampage of everything,
yeah,
I shut it down. I always have said, nope, not going to listen to that no more. You can carry on your conversation. I'm going away now.
To a certain extent though, like in building out your communication skills and learning how to interact with different clients and different personalities, I feel like you eventually, when you start out, you'll have more varying personalities, but when you eventually get a little bit more established, you tend to maintain clients that you are more connected with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to a certain point. Yeah. Like I had a wide variety of personalities, wide variety of personalities, but that's because I don't say I turned into chameleon and followed what they were like, but I just like that client. Like I don't attract negative people in my life, but she just has always had a bad, negative world, and it's constantly like forever, and I felt awful for her. There's a few things that went on her world that were really unfair. You can't explain it when things go wrong for some people. They just go really wrong. Anyhow, but I had other clients who were sweet and quiet and nice and had a great life, and you know, so yes, you do. And I had other staff, they attracted what they had because that's who they were in the treatment room. Analytical about it.
Personality too.
Yeah, right? I step back and go, that's why my consistency of how I delivered myself, my consultations were like that. Everyone, that first time client, what products do you have? Do you have products at home? Yes, bring them. I always said, bring them in or take pictures. Show me what you have. I want to understand what you have. Then I understand what they do to take care of their skin. Okay, they're giving me all the answers. I don't have to ask questions. When I see a cleanser, an exfoliant, and a day cream, and an SPF, why do I have to ask on the form again when I can see it all right there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm also changing. Your consultation doesn't have to be so regime of like repetitive, ask the questions when they already told you. I had that one time. I didn't say I was an esthetician. I just went, I really wanted to treat myself. And I told them, so yes, I have a full skincare. I do cleanse and tone and exfoliate and day cream and SPF. And yeah, I do all that. Okay. She went through the form and asked me all those questions again. And I was like, did you not listen to what I just
said? Okay. So I think this brings it back to a confidence. That person might not have been super confident in her ability to just kind of pivot on the spot, because
that's a good word.
You gave all the information when you weren't supposed to. You had to wait for the question. So I think it really is about Like, although you're in the service industry and you're about the skill and the knowledge of doing the treatments, you're also in the industry of communicating with people and building relationships, and you have to become good at interacting with people. You have to be a people person, basically.
And at the end, she still tried to sell me an SPF and a day cream, and it's, I'm like, I have that.
Right? Did it's you like, go back?
Did I go back? No.
There you go.
No. No, and it was a treat. I actually did treat myself, and I like I said, I wasn't trying to lie or nothing. It was actually, honestly, I was like, who doesn't want a wonderful facial sometimes? And just, you know, two birds, one stone. I get a massage, and you know, I even said when I phoned, do you do the décolleté and shoulders? Yes. Okay, perfect. We even do hand massage. I remember saying that. Great. Love it. Sign me up. Right. With someone I knew had gone there already, but it's like, I get that there's in that first consultation, like, yes, you want to know what they have. You want to know what they're using. But if you're not actively listening.
Exactly.
If you are asking that question when the person said already, and it wasn't because I just said to her, I have this. I volunteered it off the top. So she just went through it again. Right. So I just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think we had this conversation on one of our episodes where we had interviewed Maylene, who had been recently out of school. And she had said that was, you know, the talking to people and the just being able to deal with different personalities and different scenarios was one of the more challenging things. They don't teach you that in school.
No, you don't get people skills.
No.
In school, it's all theory. It's just not logical, but the information is what you're learning. Exactly. People skills and that are different courses, different classes, and it's also life experiences, right? But like I said, the biggest thing that I know that helped me was, especially with facials, is that I asked them to bring their products in as part of the consultation. And then I didn't even ask them that they had. And then I saw what they didn't have. But I think what would complement the routine you currently have would be this. And then just like that lady that had hyaluronic, I said, I think you need to use it like this. Have you tried doing that? Oh, no, I never did. You should do that. Right. So, and let me know what you think. Do you mind if I follow up with you? It wasn't even my sale of a product. And I still followed up with that client.
I think that the other thing we had talked about off before the show is that sometimes you just, you know, somebody could bring in their client, their product, or they can ask you a question about a certain product and you might not know. And saying you don't know is okay. And, you know, sometimes it could make somebody feel like, you know, unsure of yourself, or, but there is a way in, I think you had used the phrase, I wrote it down, use the phrase, humbly confident to say, I don't have the answer. And you can say something like, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't worked with this product before, but I can look into it and let you and get back to you.
Yeah. Exactly. But then you need to make sure you follow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where we fail sometimes. We say it and then we don't do it. And I've heard that many, many times over. You know, it's not just the treatment room time with that client. Like, it takes time to build a rapport. I put in a lot of effort with my clients. Mm-hmm. Genuinely enjoyed it. Why? Because I was going to show them like they could change their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was going to show them they're going to stop having ingrowns in their bikini. You know, like whatever that was. I mean, there's some things, so what are you going to change?
But I think too, like if it's something like a product they have that's not from you.
Yeah.
And you still help them, it's not a loss for you. So it is time that you're going to have to spend after the treatment, but it is time that's going to be kind of that reward after in building the relationship with your client, but it's also giving you more knowledge that you can use in the future.
Exactly.
And your own confidence and knowing, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Or if I don't know, I know how to get the answer.
Mm-hmm. Like one thing I know, because I don't do as much service as I used to, right? When I was in it full time, I even had medications down. Like I knew what high blood pressure pills were, asthma, you know, the common things. And I think that's something that, because I had that exposure, I'm like, oh, you're taking prednisone. Do you have asthma? I'm like, how do you know that? I said, because I have other clients that take it. So they taught me that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's, And then it just helps you understand a little bit more. But that, again, active listening and hearing what people are saying, and then you can use it again. I guarantee when you learn that product one time or that medication or whatever it is, you're probably going to remember it. If not, you probably made a note and said, oh, that client had that. What was that again? You can even go back and look at your note on that client and see if you can get that answer again, right? But today's world's different. You can pick up your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
And Google it, right? So I think, like I said, that is, it's a huge, and especially today, when you look at the influences that clients have now, that people have with social media, the TikTok videos, the all that stuff that's out there now, right? Good sales in your retail places. I mean, that's what they're good at. It's a hard competitive world. And if you're not figuring out how to compete with those, I'll call it all influencers, because they're all, that's all influencers, right? You need to figure out how you can do this. You don't have to be a walking encyclopedia. Yeah. And like you said, that humbly confident is okay. You know?
And I think it is that confidence. And I think that's why we wanted to talk about it, because having that confidence is going to build the trust, and it's going to build that longevity in your relationship with your clients. So it's going to give you an edge to compete.
And that's a huge part of it. When people aren't building the clientele and they don't know why they're not coming back, you just sit down in your room and look at yourself and think, what can I do different? Why is so-and-so so busy? Don't think it's through their social media. It's helpful. It's just part of the puzzle. It's just a little part of that puzzle, right? For sure it is. I know people who are, you know, travel to other places because they've seen it on social media for brows, for permanent makeup brows. Like, they go to another city because they just love what they saw, right? It's like, well, what makes that person so amazing? What don't you know about what behind the scene of their post? You know, like, I don't know. I think there's so much more of it. And then we're kind of in our world where people think that it's a generational thing, like the older clients are the ones spending the money. Not really. There's some younger ones out there doing it now too. Like they've said, Gen Z is the one that we need to be watching, because they're the ones that are really trying to take care internally themselves. And, you know, they're not looking at, you know, if they were, you know, sun worshipers, many are not.
No.
Right? Yeah. Like they're, and then is it Gen X that's a, before them, I think Gen X is now
Gen Y.
Gen Y? Okay.
I'm Gen X. We're old.
Okay. They're looking at the fact that they shouldn't have done all that sun tanning in the suntan bed. So they want to fix what they're going to, because they know now at an age of those 30s and 40s that they're going, oh my God, I'm going to have all these pigmentations later. Mm-hmm. I need to do something now. So they're more educated and caring about themselves. So just think of, you know, like you said, you're going to attract your own clients, but try not to pigeonhole yourself as well and see how you can get different people in your little network of.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think you touching on that is important, because again, I think it goes back to like when you show your knowledge, because people have so much access to information, everybody thinks they're an expert in skincare because they watched a bunch of TikToks about it. But really, that's where you come in to show that you're actually the expert. But I think if you are talking to somebody who is maybe a little bit more shy or insecure in their knowledge base, and they're not sharing, that client might think you don't know anything, and then they might.
That's happened to so many, especially, you know, someone newer in the industry used to have that with staff. And so I did a lot of coaching with them, and it's okay. So when so-and-so comes in today for their pedicure, what do you remember about their feet the last time they were here? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, oh, she complained about having cracks in the heels. Okay. Do you even remember what you said to her last time at all? And it wasn't a judgment. I want you to know what they knew.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not expected to remember. No one said you had to remember.
Yeah.
But what's the plan? What's the plan today when you see that person again? And you know she's coming with cracked feet again, and you know she's going to complain about those cracked feet again. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? So I had to help them make the plan before seeing the client. And that you can call that the consultation. It's almost the same thing. That's why I said I'm always doing a consultation. I'm asking the whys, trying to figure it out so that I can really listen to what the clients want and how to help it, help them or the problem, the condition or whatever it is that they're seeking. Right?
Yeah.
It's just part of it. So I think we have to really look at understanding how powerful that tool is, that you have a client in your room with you, that they've come to you, and what you can do with that. It allows you to get to know your client better. It allows you to help expand their knowledge because you're sharing their knowledge. It helps them meet their goals. You're giving them a plan. I hope you're giving them a plan of some sort, even if it's with their own product. Yeah. Like I did, right? It's huge. And did that lady come back? No, but one of her friends came, right? So it's like, okay, it's a win-win. That's great. She jumped around. That's what she does. Cause her friend told me, oh, she's always trying out new
places. You're not going to win them all, basically.
That's right. But I got someone else out of it. Yeah. Bonus. Yay. You know, it's celebration, but you just don't know what it's going to come to. So I think, like I said, it's a guide. It's like a guide for you, you know, a guide for you and your clients. Yeah. They know what to expect. You know, the plan and what you're planning to do, and, you know, have those ears open wide. And I think that's part of it. And digital is wonderful. I did it back then, but I still didn't take away from building that rapport. And I think that's a big part of building clientele, is building your rapport.
Absolutely. It's so important.
And if you don't know how to deal with people and you're finding it frustrating, you need to sign up for a course. You need to learn how to communicate. And that's the only way to help you get out of your shell, right? Because, I mean, being in a digital world, we're doing less talking with real people, especially face to face.
But the good news is there's probably an online course you can take.
There is, I'm sure.
I don't know any, but if our listeners know any, let us know.
You know, yeah. Let us know. I mean, actually, I'm sure there's free videos on there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
right? Yeah. I mean, there's so much out there that you can do. Yeah,
exactly. So
listen, and communicate non-verbally and verbally.
And believe in yourself.
Please believe in yourself. You went to school because you probably want to help people, and that's a genuine thing.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for our topic today. Hopefully we've given our listeners some tips that they can use, and we will be back with another episode next week.
Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.